The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Going on yesterday, I thought my head was going to explode. Like, I was on the phone. I called a buddy of mine just to tell him, like, some stuff that was happening. Sports fan, but he's like, you know, everyone's got their lives when they're not in the business itself, you know. They're busy making a living. And as I'm telling him something, he told me something. Because he had, I guess he had ESPN on and something just came across. And I was like, what? I thought he was traded to the Padres. You know? Oh, my God, stuff is going on. The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, also Sirius XM, Channel 80, L.A. L.A., L.A. I mean, big city of dreams. Listen, the Lakers and the Dodgers? The Lakers and the Dodgers pulled off those trades? For crying out loud. 888-SAY-ESPN 729-3776. The real question is, was it the Lakers or the Dodgers who had a bigger trade day? That's the question. 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And we begin with the Lakers. Dodgers are a big deal in L.A. Nothing like the Lakers. There's nothing like the Lakers in L.A. The Lakers in L.A., the Yankees in New York, the Cowboys in Dallas. There are a handful of Alabama, football in Alabama, obviously. There are a handful of teams that mean what the Lakers mean to Los Angeles. Only a handful. And sports in L.A. is funny. I'm going to get to this Westbrook thing in a second. But L.A. is a very big and diverse place. But it's really just kind of loosely connected neighborhoods. There's public transportation isn't much to speak of. And while it's diverse, it's not really well integrated. And the one place, the one thing that makes L.A. a city more than anything else is sports. And more than any other team, it's the Lakers. That's where everyone comes together from all different corners of Los Angeles and all different walks of life and merge, you know, in the same place and with one interest, the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers make L.A. a city more than anything else, more than any other institution. And then the Dodgers. And these are the two teams that we got to get into. First, the Lakers. They turned a bunch of spare parts into Russell Westbrook. Now, when I talked about what move I'd like the most to make the Lakers, I thought, well, if Chris Paul would opt out, you could get Chris Paul. He's a better shooter than Westbrook. Maybe it's a better fit than Westbrook, but I was concerned about his age and injury history. But I thought, like, how can you really trade for Westbrook? You won't have anything left on the team. I don't even think you have enough to trade for him. But Chris Paul could just opt out. You could sign him to whatever you can sign him to, and then you can work out a backroom deal where, you know, at the end of the year, once you have his rights, then you can give him a big fat extension. I thought maybe something like that could be done. But how are you going to get Westbrook? Pelinka. Hats off to you, brother. I mean, and I was highly critical of that move when the Lakers made it for Pelinka. I saw it as a power struggle between, you know, Magic and LeBron and Kobe. And I said, oh, Kobe's winning that. That's his dude, Pelinka. Got him in there. And LeBron's the superstar in his prime on the team where it's still at a very high level on the team, and Kobe's still winning that. And then Pelinka didn't make the right hire at coach, I feel, and didn't bring in Ty Lue. That's LeBron's guy. Got to take my hat off to Pelinka. I mean, you just got to adjust to the information as it comes in. Pelinka sent Kyle Kuzma, who has dubious value, KCP, who is maybe a starter on some teams, certainly a rotation piece. On most teams, not on most teams, KCP is a top 8-9 guy on any team, right? But 8-9, rotation piece, bench player on many teams, and maybe a starter on some. Kuzma, KCP, and Montrezl Harrell, sixth man of the year. Montrezl Harrell just opted into a one-year deal for less than $10 million in his prime in the NBA. He opted into that, okay? So how much value does he actually have? Now, these are not These are spare parts. They're not useless. These are useful parts. KCP can give you some shooting and some playmaking off the bench or maybe in your starting lineup if the other starters are good enough. Kyle Kuzma can score and help you sometimes. Not much of a defender, doesn't do a whole lot else. And Montrezl Harrell is, you know, like an old school power forward. Not a perfect modern power forward, but an energetic player and can defend. You turn those three spare parts and a late first round pick into Russell Westbrook? And two second round picks? Into Russell Westbrook? Look, everyone's getting caught up on the fit. What are you going to do about the shooting and the floor spacing and all that? Calm down. First rule in the NBA is talent. But I'm going to get into the fit in a second. It's talent. You got Russell Westbrook. Let me tell you who Russell Westbrook is. For all his flaws as a player, right? He wants it too much. He doesn't shoot it well enough. And yet he takes, not only does he take a lot of low percentage shots, he's not great at converting low percentage shots. Right? Okay, fine. But let me tell you why we have the impression of him or his value is as low as it is, where Pelinka could scoop him up for Kyle Kuzma, KCP, Montrezl Harrell in a first, and you get 2 seconds back with it. Okay. Because the last 4 seasons, Russell Westbrook is usually on a new team, but always with new significant teammates. 4 seasons. And every year it's the same thing. He's trying to figure it out early on, and his teammates are trying to figure him out. And the first half of the year, we always say the same thing. Russell Westbrook's not good anymore. And then what happens? He figures it out, and in the second half of every season, go back and look, just remember, we're going, wow, he's an MVP caliber player in the second half of the season. So the Lakers will have some growing pains early on. But by the second half of the season, Russell Westbrook will be a MVP level player. And so will LeBron James, and so will AD. You have 3 MVP-level players. Now, before this, I just want to be very clear. The Lakers' chance against the Nets was laughable. People wanted to pretend they had a shot. I try to tell you, no shot. The Nets got 3 of those dudes. The Lakers had 2. Sometimes the math is that easy. 3 special players versus 2, if everyone was healthy. And no one was healthy, as it turned out, but if everyone was healthy. That's not the case anymore. Now the Lakers have a legitimate answer to the Nets' big 3. Now, here's the difference. Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kevin Durant, listen carefully to my phrasing here. Each one of those guys is arguably the best scorer in the history of the game at their size. The most skilled scorer. In what way can Kyrie not score the ball for a little point guard? Outside, inside, finishing the paint, the layup package, the three-point shot from distance, free throws, mid-range, every way. And also an excellent passer. James Harden, same thing. Show me another 6'5" guy in the history of the game more skilled as a scorer overall than James Harden. Can score in every way conceivable. He's not an above-the-rim guy, but neither is Kyrie. And then KD, same thing. Show me a 6'11", 7-foot guy who can score like that. In the history of basketball, it's not that each one is. No doubt they're the great. It's that they are in the argument and maybe win the argument for best overall skilled scorer at their size in the history of basketball. They got 3 of those dudes. That's not the Lakers. However, the Lakers have the better athletes. Westbrook, LeBron, and AD are all in the argument for greatest athlete at their size. Certainly Westbrook and LeBron. Probably they win that argument. The Lakers are going to play better defense. Do the Lakers need shooting? No doubt. Watch. Let's see what happens with Kevin Love. Let's see what happens with Buddy Hield. Let's see what happens with a lot of vets who want to sign for the vet minimum with the Lakers now. They'll find the shooting. That was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. I got to get into the Dodgers deals too, but first, the one-time Ron Artest. Later, Meta World Peace. And now, Meta, Raj, you misspelled his name. It's not Sanford. What do you think? It's like Sanford and Son? It's with a T, right? Standiford or Sandiford?
Sandiford. S-A-N-D-I-4, like
right.
The car.
Sandiford, yeah, Raj. He spelled it like Sanford, like your Red Fox or someone. No, it's not Sanford and Son, Raj. It's Sandiford.
I am a comedian.
Yes.
I am a comedian sometimes.
Meta, it's great to see you on the Goodyear Hotline. So I was blown away by this. You turned Kyle Kuzma, KCP, and Montrezl Harrell, three nice players, but they're spare parts, into Russell Westbrook? Russell Westbrook! What was your impression of the trade, Meta?
Well, for one, I want to say thanks to those guys for being Lakers because I like those guys. They're really good guys. Kuz used to text me and ask me for defensive tips. So,
well, he wasn't taking them. Like, he asked you for them. He wasn't listening, though.
He did take them. He did. He got better.
Oh, man. He couldn't have gotten worse.
So Westbrook, this is... Yeah. So what?
I said he couldn't have gotten worse. He said he got better. That brother needs to play some defense. Okay, Meta. Yeah, so Westbrook. Westbrook.
Yeah, Westbrook, man. Westbrook is just like, this is crazy, right? I think they are the biggest three.
You think they're bigger than Kyrie, Harden, and KD?
Okay, so Westbrook has an MVP. Harden has an MVP. Durant has an MVP. LeBron has an MVP. Mm. Kyrie and AD is yet to have an MVP.
Yep.
Westbrook is one of the greatest players of all time, averaging triple-double after triple-double. Mm-hmm. You know, Oscar Robertson. We're talking about legendary. How many people are as legendary as Russell Westbrook? You talk about
these, I want to get into this, Meta.
We mentioning right now.
Meta, I want to get into this. He's a polarizing figure. And let me say this. Yeah. I go from play to play watching Westbrook like this. That's the best player I've ever seen. So on one play, I'll go, I've never seen a player like that. The next play, I'll go, you can't win a championship with this dude, right? Like, and it's like that with people, too. He's either totally overrated, he's the greatest, or he's totally underrated. Westbrook's no good, right? So when you say he's legendary, triple-double, other people would say, and I'm with you, I think he's a great player, but other people would say, but if you can get triple-doubles nowadays, monopolizing the ball, it's that kind of league.
Yeah.
What do you say to those people?
Well, I agree with those people. I'm one of the guys that I'm against guards dominating the ball because sometimes we act as if a big cannot bring the ball up. Mm-hmm. Why does the guard has to have the ball all the time? Right. So, yeah, I do agree. And I can see. And also on the other side of that, if you are a guard dominating the ball, it's going to be really difficult for you to win a championship. Mm-hmm. Name the last dominant point guard to win, you know, a title. Mm. It's very few. Isaiah Thomas did it, but it's really difficult to do, right?
LeBron James is probably the answer. LeBron James on the Lakers, right? He's actually the point guard, but at least he had Rondo too.
Of course, yeah, he was the point guard, but he came off the ball a lot.
Yeah.
He was in transition. He was posting up. He's a playmaker, right? Mm-hmm. LeBron James is a playmaker. So that's the difference. Like, when you talk about LeBron James as a point guard, when you talk about Tony Parker as a point guard, when you talk about Derek Fisher as a starting point guard, champions, these are playmaking.
Meta, Steph Curry. Steph Curry, too. The ball doesn't stick with him. He's off the ball a lot.
That's why I'm not even mentioning Steph. Steph is he's not a ball-dominant point guard. Right. He's a great player off the ball. If Steph Curry wasn't a great player off the ball, we would not see these championships from Steph Curry.
So what about Westbrook? Westbrook totally dominates the ball. He monopolizes it. Talking to Meta World Peace, now Meta Sandiford Artest on the Max Kellerman Show. Yeah, Meta?
But this is why I think it works on the Max Kellerman Show. This is why I think it works. Because when you got three guys that are hungry to win, everyone has something at stake. Mm. So Westbrook at times might not look like his old self, and we got to be prepared for that. But the team might play better, right? He's going to be off the ball. He's not going to have the ball as much because AD and LeBron are arguably better than him, mm-hmm. right? It's saying a lot. But what's going to happen is Westbrook can shoot. Is he a lights-out Stephen Curry shooter? No. But can he make an open shot? Yeah. You know, is he going to make them all? Maybe not. But he'll make enough, right? You can't leave Westbrook wide open, mm-hmm. right? Which is going to happen, by the way. It's going to be times where he's going to be wide open and he might miss a couple, but then he'll start making a couple. And when you get older, you become a better shooter, by the way. Look at LeBron. Mm-hmm. Right? When you get
older, hasn't been happening with Westbrook. Meta, he's been regressing. He had a season about 3-4 years ago. He shot about 35% from three, something like that. He's been shooting under 30% from three, and he's been on, you know, he's had some good teammates, Bradley Beal last year, and he figured it out with Beal eventually, right? Early on, he had a problem, always with new teammates. Then he figures it out, and he balls out. But his shot has been going backward. Bill Plaschke, Stephen A. Smith, was reading it today, read it to me, like the headline in the L.A. Times and all that, you know, Westbrook would be great on the Lakers if he's a good teammate and all that stuff. My thought is, him and KD coming up together, him having the dominant personality, that was a problem. Since then, he only was really on one team that had a chance to win a championship in 16. The team that the Cavs beat the Warriors. The Thunder were just as good as those teams. They came up a little short because Westbrook and KD came up a little small under pressure. But since then, he really hasn't been on a championship squad. I think LeBron has the level of gravitas, right? The kind of weight to make Westbrook come into the fold and be a little deferential. Is that the case, or is Westbrook too stubborn and set in his ways, do you think?
Well, I don't know Westbrook personally. I've seen Westbrook a couple times out, and he's been, you know, a very nice guy off the court, and on the court, he's been a killer.
Killer.
I don't know him from that standpoint, but I do know, let's just say like me, I'll put myself in a scenario. I come in to the locker room, maybe I have a bad attitude. That's stuff you handle behind closed doors, and you be a man about it, and you don't leave those closed doors until things are addressed. But, you know, guys get older, right? So Westbrook is older, and he needs to have a ring. Just, you know, let's just keep in mind that if Westbrook wins a championship, this elevates his status.
No doubt. Maybe this more than anyone in the league right now. Yep.
So, and I think the one thing Westbrook should keep in mind, you know, as long as you stay in rhythm with the team, this Laker team will win. You might not be in rhythm individually. Even LeBron might not be in rhythm individually. You know, but if the team is in rhythm, you know, that sometimes, you know, you might not touch the ball five times down the floor. Then you open for a shot. Maybe you miss the shot. Like, it's important to stick to the process. I forget the terminology they use now, but it's a process, right? And he's sort of reborn again. Right, he's almost like a rookie again because he has the opportunity to win a title. He had one opportunity before where he was the man, but this is different. Like, you legit have a shot. So I would just encourage him, you know, to you know let everything flow, let that offense flow, and you know, don't worry about the, you know, don't stress over the bad times, you know, and you know, maintain the good times, and I think he'll be okay. This is a little different. This is three great.
Yes, to who are, you know, it reminds me of, at a higher level, it reminds me of the Celtics' big three, because they were not in at their absolute best anymore, but they were still great. And it's a big thing to win a championship when you're still great. Like, if Westbrook just tagged along 5 years from now, he's not a great player anymore, won a championship, doesn't count the same way. Gary Payton, in my mind, it doesn't count the same way, right? But he's still a great player. If he does it now, and who says it's only going to be one, by the way? Like, maybe they can go, let's find out. It totally elevates him. Meta, as you're talking, I had a thought talking to Meta World. Sorry, Meta Sandiford Artest. You used to know him as Meta World Peace, Ron Artest, on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. I had a thought. Sometimes you get a combination of guys, and they make each other better, right? It's not just that they can fit in together, they make each other better. Like, AD challenged LeBron on the defensive end when AD got to town. And LeBron became a more consistent, not like he was in Miami, he was younger, he had more energy, but he became a more consistent defender with AD bell to bell. He didn't just turn it on in the playoffs, right? And the Lakers became a great defensive team. Now I'm thinking about Westbrook. Westbrook comes in, ain't no coasting if Westbrook's on the team. Like, LeBron, AD, get that out of your head. There's no coasting. If you can play, you're playing, all that stuff, right? That should be a good influence on those guys. LeBron's basketball IQ and basic and greater greatness than everyone else should be able to bring Westbrook into the fold and have things be copacetic. And AD's, again, his attention to defense, because Westbrook's a capable, like, he's physically, he can play defense, and so can LeBron. Yes. I expect a motivated, excellent defensive team, and I expect the best version of Westbrook. But Meta, they still got to shoot. I mean, as they're presently constructed, you can't play Talen Horton Tucker with these three guys. Who's going to shoot? You're going to have to find some shooting now, right?
Well, I think, like, you know, it's the thing where, like I said, it's about winning, right? So this is a new season. This is a new season with great players. And Thornton is an amazing player. Like, you got to involve that kid. And I would just encourage the guys to, you know, just let it flow. Like, this is a hell of a season. This is a hell of an opportunity. So it's not going to be the same people every night. Yeah, it might be the stars, you know, especially if they come with their mind right. It will be those three every night, mm-hmm. for sure. But sometimes, you know, you might go through a little, you know, down period and, you know, just get through it. And guys like Thornton is going to be hungry. I think this is going to be a positive. It even showed the time when they won the title. They all played together. Thornton came in and had big minutes. I'm really excited about him, by the way. You know, and now you got Westbrook with the ball. LeBron is really good high-low at the four position also. Mm-hmm. He also knows how to post and seal at the three position. So Russell can come off screens, throw it over the top to LeBron. They come help on LeBron. LeBron can kick it to AD. AD can do what he does. You know, these are highly intelligent basketball players.
If AD would play the five, and you could play LeBron 3-4, it's like kind of positionless, but you can really, with Westbrook on the ball, you can just go out and get a couple of 3-and-D guys if you can find them, guys like pure shooters who can defend well enough. That's all that starting five needs. But Meta, to me, Talen Horton Tucker, I like his future a lot. But and Dennis Schroeder, you can sign and trade him, right? I'm looking at Buddy Hield still in Sacramento and thinking, like, is there a three-team thing? Like, they need a pure shooter on this team or two to play with these three guys. They need guys who don't need the ball but can shoot it if they get it. You don't think so?
I just feel like when AD went down, they had shooters. You had Ben McLemore.
Mm-hmm. That's
lights
true.
Out shooter.
Yep, you're right. You're right.
You had Caldwell Pope, lights out shooter.
Well, he's
right.
Gone,
and
yeah.
I think when AD went down, these guys were prepared to spot up, mm-hmm. and shoot. And even my boy Matthews, they was not prepared, you know, to have to turn into a go to guy.
Right.
Right. And I think that's where we got lights out shooters. So you can't leave any of these players open. So, I mean, yeah, Buddy Hield would be incredible. I don't even know how that would work because. Would that work with like a minimum?
Well, no. You sign and trade. You sign and trade Schroeder. You got his rights. You sign and trade Schroeder. You get in a three-team deal. Get what they want for him, and then include Talen Horton Tucker and send whatever you got to do, and go bring in Buddy Hield. I mean, it doesn't need to be a Buddy Hield, but you need shooting. You need, even if it's a vet who will play on the minimum, you need shooting on this team.
You can't get rid of Thornton. He's a dog.
He's a dog. I love him. I love him, but
you can't get rid of
he's
that
a good
dog.
Player, but the great Meta
well,
World.
Know, I think he's a type.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think he's a type, like, let's just say somebody did go down.
Yeah.
Thornton is the type that could fill in that void as a, not a number three guy, but
Meta, I want to keep you around because they're telling me I got a break. I got to get to the Dodgers. I got a lot of stuff to do. Oh, I got Jordan Schultz coming up on the for the draft. Oh, my God, there's so much. Nice. This has happened to me last night. My brain exploded. I still got to get to the Dodgers. I don't know what to do. All right, Meta, thank you for joining me today, brother. I always appreciate it. The great Meta Sandiford Artest on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. This is the Max Kellerman Show coming to you live from the Seaport District of Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Coming up, who helped themselves the most in the NBA draft? That's what we're going to get into with Jordan Schultz. Oh, my God, what a sports day. Friends, demand for unskilled workers is sky high, if you want that. But there's demand for hundreds of thousands of IT and cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. And My Computer Career is training people to meet it. Get skilled. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Through July, grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also Sirius XM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance, Meta World Peace, Meta Sandiford Artest. Join me on the Goodyear Hotline, Jordan Schultz, ESPN draft analyst now on the Max Kellerman Show. Jordan, you there? Not there yet. Okay. Well, let me say quickly while I have this little pause. The Dodgers. I'm a Yankees fan. I'll root for the Dodgers in the NL, but I'm a Yankees fan. And the Yankees picked up some pretty good players. They needed some lefty pop. They needed some defense. They got it in the outfield and at first base, left-handed power and defense. But guys who strike out a lot, you know, and they got them for second-tier kind of prospects. Pretty good job by Brian Cashman. But do you see what the Dodgers just did? They went out and got the best pitcher and the best position player on the market. Max Scherzer is going to the Hall of Fame, and he's still more or less in his prime. Maybe slightly less, but still a Cy Young caliber pitcher. And Trey Turner, one of the best middle infield hitters, and puts the bat on the ball, doesn't just hit for power, in baseball. Can play you some center field, can play a middle infield, but like has gotten to be a better defensive shortstop. He went from a below average to a pretty good defensive shortstop this year. And hits three whatever with solid power and everything. Those are two best players on the market. The Dodgers got them both. You know why? And they have to pay a lot in the cost of prospects. They have a great farm system that they can afford to pay out prospects like that. It's unbelievable. What a job the Dodgers front office has done. Dodgers and Lakers, it's just the real competition in sports right now is who's pulled off the bigger trades, Dodgers or Lakers in the last 24 hours. All right, is Jordan there? Okay. Jordan Schultz, ESPN and ESPN draft analyst. Jordan, you were on First Take yesterday. We talked about what to expect in the draft. Now the draft has occurred. What's your headline?
My headline is, it went really as we thought. I mean, there were some hiccups in terms of, you know, Barnes going before Suggs, but for the most part, I thought it played out. You know, we didn't think Ben Simmons would be moved last night because we thought Daryl Morey would be pragmatic and wait for his value to come back. The only one that stood out that I frankly didn't see coming was the Lakers moving to get Russell Westbrook, and I think it's the right move for them. They gave up a lot. But they need to win now. Their window's now. You know, LeBron only has two more years left on his deal. Davis has four. But that's the window, Max. And if you're the Lakers, you need to put playmakers around LeBron and Anthony Davis. And the beauty of Russell Westbrook, even at this advanced age, 33, is that he's still able to come in and get downhill. He can play two-man with AD. And also, he's someone that can alleviate ball-handling responsibilities from LeBron. So, yes, they gave up a lot, but I think the Lakers put themselves in a pretty good position going into free agency.
Okay, so I'm looking at the winners of the draft yesterday. Obviously, the Detroit picked first, so they get Cade Cunningham. But they also picked up Isaiah Livers, who's from the area and can spot up, shoot, and lead, you know, and should be able to be an adequate defender on the NBA level. I thought they were a winner. I thought Houston was a big winner here because not only did they grab Jalen Green, who may turn out to be the best in this draft, we'll see, but they got Sengun, the Turkish MVP,
yep,
of the Turkish League at the age of 18, and I haven't seen him play other than the highlights, but the highlights are very impressive. Highly skilled, big, and they moved up to nab him. They got two guys who could not only start, but maybe star, and then they got, Garuba, the power forward who people are high on, who maybe could have been a top 15 guy. Like, I thought the Rockets really came off last night, needing to rebuild in the absence of Harden. They got a lot done.
And Josh Christopher, Max.
Right, and
Josh
Christopher, yep.
You're absolutely dead on. I said last night I thought they had one of the three best drafts. You know, Sengun, nobody's seen play, but he is very, very good. 6'11", he was just a workhorse in terms of his ability to get and finish at the rim. He's athletic. He plays big. He's not a traditional center in terms of, you know, he can really run the floor. He's just going to be a very good player. He's just a baby. And then you talk about Christopher, who's a power guard. I mean, I comped him to D. Wade in terms of 6'4.5" with a 44-inch vert. And you mentioned Isaiah Livers, too, going back to Detroit. The other team I thought did really well. You know, Isaiah Livers, I talked to him last night, Max. He's a kid that is a hard-nosed, classic kind of Midwestern guard. He went to Michigan. He stays home. You mentioned the three-point shooting. He's about 6'5". He's athletic. So you pair him with Cade Cunningham. I think Isaiah Livers is a starting shooting guard in this league, at the very worst, a third guard. So you did a lot if you're the Pistons last night. Both of those teams with very depleted rosters really improved. And I'll just mention Cleveland because they got their guy, Kobe Altman, Evan Mobley, the dancing bear, 7-footer. this guy, Max, we talked about it. He's Anthony Davis and Chris Bosh kind of blended together. So I loved what all three of those teams did.
All right. I want to get to two quickly. I have like 90 seconds here. One is the Clippers. They got that kid Preston, who's like people remind people of LaMelo Ball.
Yeah.
He was like a blogger for the Pistons or something,
he
right?
Was, yeah.
And but he reminds people of LaMelo Ball, and they really needed a court vision kind of offense organizer. And it seems like they potentially got one. I thought that was big for them. And they traded back into the second round to get him.
Jason Preston's going to be one of the premier steals in this draft. He goes in the second round. He is a guy with really good feel, Max, like elite feel. And he'll come in. You mentioned the creativity. Didn't we see it in the playoffs? Like, they needed someone else to make plays. I mean, Reggie Jackson was very good. He's going to get a bag. Jason Preston could come in right away and play. His story is unbelievable. 3 years ago, you know, he wasn't getting D1 opportunities, barely was playing in JUCO tournaments, and then now he's a second-round pick. But he was more athletic than people thought in workouts. That's why he went that high. And I talked to his agent yesterday. They felt like they were going to go late first, early second. That's exactly what happened, and I think he's going to be playing right away for them, like legit minutes.
Okay, like in 30 seconds, the Knicks kept trading back and trading their picks. Then Cam Thomas was available, who's a walking bucket. He's good. He looks like he's ready to be a sixth man right now. And the Nets grab him. The Nets, who have the big three but like need more depth with players, have like five draft picks, and one of them is a guy who could probably walk into the gym and be a sixth man right now. I was surprised the Knicks let a scorer like that go to the rivals. What do you think about what happened in New York?
Yeah, I was really surprised by New York. I didn't think they did great. You mentioned the Nets. They're going to need players. Like, you know, Bruce Brown's a free agent. They have all these guys coming up on deals. You talk about Cam Thomas. He's like the sixth leading all-time freshman scorer in NCAA history. He is a walking bucket. He's Jordan Clarkson, a little bit smaller. He's got great footwork, can shoot the three. I love that pick, and he's going to play right away, and they're going to need him. They are going to need him to play. So, again, Brooklyn, what a job. Sean Marks, hell of a draft for him.
Jordan Schultz, ladies and gentlemen, at Schultz_report. You can see him all over the place, guys, on First Take, and hopefully we'll have you back on First Take.
We had some fun yesterday, my man.
We sure did, and we have you on the Max Kellerman Show. Thanks, Jordan. Appreciate it, brother. Jordan Schultz joined me on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven, coming up. All right, Dodgers fans, any stopping you now? Do you have to repeat now? Summer games news and notes is brought to you by California Almonds, representing your country or representing your trivia team. Almonds are natural fuel for the best you. California Almonds, own your everyday, every day.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also Sirius XM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I just want to take your mind back, not even 24 hours. First, the Lakers pull off the deal for Westbrook. Because the fact is, if everyone's healthy next year, the Brooklyn Nets were going to mop the floor with the Lakers. Because the Lakers would get to the finals if healthy, and they would be lucky to get a single game against the Nets if everyone's healthy. That ain't the case anymore. Lakers pulled off one hell of a deal for a truly great player, still more or less in his prime, and they got him for spare parts. An amazing deal. And now the Lakers have a legitimate answer to the Nets. But at the same time, I just want to remind you, Dodgers fans, remember the early reports? It was basically reported to Padres that the Padres were getting Max Scherzer. And it was like, oh, okay. All right. You know, that's a problem. Scherzer is as good as it gets. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. He's in the middle of a Hall of Fame career. He's almost as good as he's ever been. Okay. Not only did that deal not go through at the 11th hour and the Dodgers swoop in to get Scherzer, but they got Trey Turner too. I don't know what he's hitting right now, but Trey Turner puts the bat on the ball, hits for a high batting average, hits for good power, runs the bases, can steal you some bases. Maybe not as, like, because I don't. Listen, we're not done with the season. Let's see what the totals wind up being, but very good base runner. The issue, and versatile defender, has played center field, second base, played shortstop, but the knock against him has been below average shortstop. Not anymore. He paid attention to improving his defense this year, and if you look at the metrics, he's an above average defensive player now. And he's going to be playing second base? which is a position he's played. If you can be an above-average shortstop defensively, or even an average shortstop defensively, you can play some second base, which he's done in the past. It's the best position player on the market. They got them both. They got them both after the Padres looked like they got Scherzer. Like, if the only thing you heard was Dodgers got Scherzer, not the Padres. Be like, oh my God, that's so great. Even if you would have heard, actually, he didn't go to the Padres. He went to some American League team. You'd be psyched as a Dodgers fan. He didn't go to the Padres after people said it was reported that he did. He went to the Dodgers, and Trey Turner goes to the Dodgers. Now, I'm a Yankees fan. I want Brian Cashman fired. He's a GM of the Yankees, Dodgers fans. And he's a very good GM. He's an excellent GM. But he's not the best or the second best or the third best GM. As a Yankees fan, I know that they can't win the World Series every year, but I absolutely insist that they win it more than anyone else, and certainly more than the Dodgers. And Cashman's been the GM this entire century. And in this century, which is now more than two decades old, the Yankees have one championship. The Red Sox have four. And when guys like Scherzer and Trey Turner are on the market, the Dodgers have the resources to go get them. And they do. And the Yankees don't. The Dodgers got the best front office in baseball. The best front office in baseball. Look what they do. Now, pressure's on to repeat. But baseball, we know it doesn't work that way. Best team doesn't always win. But Dodgers have the best team. And they've gone all in now. Pressure's on to repeat. All right, folks. Who had the bigger trade yesterday? Like, what was the bigger deal? The Lakers picking up Westbrook or the Dodgers picking up Scherzer and Turner? And who has the best big three now? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.